Welcome back to 14 Days of Thought-Provoking Conversation. Day number 11 is an honor to have Pastor Willie Wilson, man.
Oh, yeah.
Huge church in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Health center, outreach program, ministry for people with HIV, males ministry. He's doing it. And a theologian on this topic. We could have kept going with him because he definitely had the knowledge to talk about this for a while. But we wanted to get, you know, some other experts on radio. And our next guest, I'm Dr. Wesley Muhammad, right? He's from your hometown, man. He's from Detroit. Known as Dr. Williams, received his PhD from University of Michigan Islamic Studies in 2008. He has taught at the University of Michigan and at University of Toledo, has presented lectures for University of Mainz in Germany, the University of Chicago, Duke University, Emory University, Morehouse, Spelman, and Clark Atlanta University. We want to welcome to the show an expert definitely on this particular topic. Dr. Wesley Muhammad is on the phone line. Dr. Wesley, how you doing today, brother?
I am well, Brother Paul. How about yourself?
All right. Now, are you in Detroit or are you in Atlanta right now?
I'm in the Detroit area right now.
Oh, good.
See how he said that, the area.
The area right now. Dr. Wesley Muhammad, we are talking about the Bible today. And
yes,
we just had Dr. Willie Wilson on the phone line, pastor of Union Temple in Washington, D.C. I wanted to get your perspective from where did the Bible come from? How did we get to the King James Version? And talk about the Council of Nicaea.
Well, it's a very long and complex question, where at least the answer would be, especially the first. The Bible, if we're talking about the Hebrew Bible or the so-called Old Testament versus the New Testament,
right.
They have different histories.
Right.
Now, they both come together in the King James Bible, but when we ask where does the Bible come from, we have to be a little more specific in terms of which Bible we're referencing.
Well, let's start off with the Old Testament. We know the Old Testament was written originally in Hebrew, right? It was translated from Hebrew language.
Right. Most of it was in Hebrew. Some of it was in Aramaic.
Yeah, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Am I right?
Greek, correct.
That's why people say, I don't understand. No, this is Greek to me. So they translate
it.
Let's talk about the Old Testament. Maybe we can even start off in Genesis. How do we get Genesis? How do we get the Old Testament?
Well, the Hebrew Bible and what we are used to calling the Old Testament, I will refer to as the Hebrew Bible.
Mm-hmm.
As an historian of religion, Old Testament is Christian language. The original possessors of the book prior to Christians appropriating it called it simply the Hebrew Bible, and I will as well. The Hebrew Bible is a compilation. It is not a book in the sense that we take a book to be, having a single author that authored the beginning to the end of the book. That is absolutely not the case with the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible is a compilation of various traditions, Israelite traditions, that were finally brought together in an edited edition, if you will, of the biblical manuscripts around during what's called the Persian period, between around 538 B.C. and 333 B.C. During this period, various Israelite documents or oral traditions were committed to writing, and these writings were brought together and referred to as the biblical, the Hebrew Bible, if you will. Now, we are more confident regarding who brought these traditions together than we are regarding who actually authored the various traditions. It's likely, scholars believe, that it was a priest or a group of priests from the Second Temple of Jerusalem that brought these traditions together, producing what would ultimately be our Hebrew Bible. So it was priests associated with the temple in Jerusalem that did the work of producing the edition. But he or they what they brought together was various divergent Israelite traditions, some of which go back to Egypt, some of which were influenced by time in Babylon, but they were ancient Israelite traditions finally brought together and codified as the Hebrew Bible by certain priests of the temple in Jerusalem.
What, so the time frame for the Old Testament, what time frame would that be?
Again, that is believed, we can't pinpoint it, it's believed that the editing activity took place during what's called the Persian period, which lasts between 538 B.C. and 333 B.C. So between that period, it is suspected these Israelite traditions were brought together, and we have what we now know as largely the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
Or Hebrew biblical text.
Okay. Now, what about the New Testament?
The New Testament has a very convoluted history, not unlike the Hebrew Bible. The New Testament is basically the Gospels, in our version, the four Gospels, which report or purport to represent the deeds and actions of the deeds and sayings of Jesus. And then you have largely the writings of Paul, his letters. Now, Paul was the first Christian author, even though his letters followed the Gospels in our New Testament. That is historically inaccurate. The first Christian writings were the writings of Paul, who we should know was very anti-Christian. He was a Jew or Hebrew who was very trained in the rabbinical tradition of Judaism and was very anti-Christian. But of course, according to the New Testament, he had an experience, converted to the mission of Christ. He actually produced the first Christian literatures, the Gospel in Greek. The Gospels that were written later were, to a great extent, influenced by Paul's mission and his preaching. Now, but what's important is that the New Testament, as we have it, didn't look the way it looked until the 4th century. It is a post-Nicene development. That is to say, our New Testament has four Gospels in it.
Okay.
Yet, it has 27 books. Yet, in the earliest period we have documented, in the 2nd century, for example, there were many more Gospels that commanded respect and authority than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For example, the Gospel of Thomas, the evidence suggests, was considered more authoritative than, for example, the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Peter and others aren't included in our New Testament. So our New Testament is a result of a selection process that we can, the success of which the final tweaking of which we can attribute to King Constantine, not at the Council of Nicaea, because the Council of Nicaea itself did not adjudicate or make any decisions regarding scripture, though it did make a very faithful decision regarding theology. But shortly after the Council of Nicaea, King Constantine made a decision that would result in the New Testament that we have today.
A question, what happened to the Gospels of John, Thomas, and Peter then?
Well, one of the decisions that King Constantine made shortly after the Council of Nicaea, he issued what was called an edict against the heretics, which stipulated the closing down of all places where so-called heretics convened and the burning of their texts. Now, these heretics were not just so-called pagans, which Constantine and the new imperial Christianity was battling against, but it also included Christians that were non-Catholic. And by this time, Christians that did not adhere to the Nicene Creed that emanated from the Nicene Council. So Christians who had a different selection of New Testament books, if you will, Marcionite Christians, Ebionite Christians, Gnostic Christians, they were considered, quote-unquote, heretics. And according to Constantine's edict, their place of worship were to be demolished and their books were to be burned. And so we have the situation, for example, the Gospel of Thomas, that in the second century, in most areas, commanded more respect than the Gospel of John, but it disappeared, not to be rediscovered until those Gnostic texts were uncovered in Nag Hammadi in Egypt. As a result of Constantine's edict to burn all unapproved texts, many buried their texts to escape the consequences of the edicts. And this is how we get, for example, the so-called Gnostic Gospels that were found buried in Egypt.
What was in those information? What was in those buried Gospels? And are those Gospels implanted into any other religious texts? Is it in the Quran? Is it in the Torah? Is it in any other religious texts?
Interesting question. In terms of what was in them, various things were in them. It is not to say these texts represented the perspective of different what we call Jesus movements. There were different Jesus movements, meaning there were different groups of peoples who viewed Jesus, his work, and his message differently. And their particular set of writings, set of scriptures, reflected that. And so the gospel of what often contrasted, for example, is the presentation of Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas versus the presentation of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And these two, the authors of these two works, seem to have known of each other and competed with each other. And so, whereas for the author of the Gospel of John, Christ represents salvation through an example that none really can aspire to. Whereas the author of the Gospel of Thomas has Jesus proclaiming that God is literally in every follower of Christ. And Gospel of Thomas's message eventuated in a self-sufficiency that is free of Christ. Whereas John's message, John has everything dependent on Christ. So there's many things in these various Gospels because they represent the perspective of Christ held by these various Jesus movements. Now, in terms of other scriptures that reflect them, interestingly, Quranic scholars or scholars of the Quran have noted that the Quran's Christology, that is to say, the Quran's presentation of Christ, parallels these Gnostic, so-called Gnostic Gospels, more than it parallels the Gospels that we're familiar with.
Okay, wow. Dr. Wesley Muhammad's on the phone line. A lot to talk about here, and I appreciate you taking out the time to share.
I appreciate
this is probably a subject that can go on for more than just 4 hours.
Yes.
Now, were there about 10, 20,000 scribes? How many thousand scribes were there to transcribe the Bible?
Well, again, what are we talking about? The Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, or the book?
The book.
Bringing these two books together, Mm-hmm. As one book was a much later process.
When did they come together, Dr. Wesley?
Well, we have in the third century or second century. We have the Latin Vulgate version. The Mates is the printed editions we have around the 5th, 6th century. When exactly these two books were bound in the, under the same cover, I don't have that information at this point, precisely when the two were brought together, except that it was a much later, it was certainly post-Nicaea, because it was the reducing or the defining of the New Testament what is a post-Nicaea process, post-Nicaea success. So bringing that clearly defined text, the New Testament, putting it under the cover with the Hebrew Bible, happened long after, one, not just the New Testament was defined, but this definition gained universal acceptance in the Christian community.
Now, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, now, in the Bible, there was a portion of time in which we don't know where Jesus went. Some people say he might went to India and studied Buddhism. He might have went into other countries. Is there any documentary out there that is any scriptures, any hidden scriptures that could give evidence of where he was missing from the age of 12 until I don't know what age it was when he came back.
33.
To 33.
Right.
That's 21 years, right?
Right.
About
right.
21 years from actually on this. Is there any scriptures that document where he was for 21 years?
No. And I suspect that trying to find the answer to that question is a wild goose chase. Because there is evidence, it is a real possibility that historical gap lacks any historical relevance.
Okay.
That is to say, most of the history of the figure Christ in the Gospels is not reflective of history. Much of the history and biography of Christ parallels to minute detail savior figures that pre-existed Christ. And what we find in some of these biographies was such a gap in their biography. And so it's possible that this gap reflects what scholars call synchronization. That is to say, biographies of pre-Christian savior figures grafted onto the newly formulated sacred biography of the Christ figure. So to look for where he may have went during this time, I suggest may very well be a wild goose chase, because that search presupposes that there was such an historical gap that must be filled in. And the evidence just really does not support that.
Now, what about the women books that they say are in Bible, or the female scribes of Esther and a few more?
You said the hidden books?
The hidden books of women.
The hidden books of women. I am not familiar with hidden books of women.
What's the name, Rob?
I'm familiar with the lost books of the Bible.
The lost books of the Bible.
Well, yeah.
And I can quote a list of the lost books of the Bible.
Yes,
I am not referred to. I'm not familiar with any hidden books of women.
Well, the lost books of the Bible, that they said women wrote.
Well, that may very well be the case, if that's where the term derives. Okay, I can go with that. It may be the case that some of the many lost books of the Bible had female authors. The Bible itself, or text within the Bible, in particular the Hebrew Bible, references other books as authoritative books, yet are not in our edition of the Hebrew Bible. For example, in the book of Numbers, it references the book of the wars of Yahweh, book chronicling the military victories of the God of Israel, which those familiar with ancient Israelite history and theology understand that this was a very important issue for the Hebrew Israelites. So we are not surprised that there would have been in circulation a book chronicling Yahweh's military victories against his enemies and the enemies of Israel. You have the book of Jasher mentioned in 1 Kings and 2 Samuel. There was a chronicle of the kings of Judah, as well as a chronicle of the kings of Israel mentioned in the text. There was Acts of the kings of Israel. There was a history of Nathan the prophet. There was visions of Edo the seer. All of these and more are books referenced by the various biblical authors as books of authority,
right,
books that they themselves relied upon, but they are nowhere in the canon of the Hebrew Bible as we have it. So they're called lost. Again, can some of them have been written by women? It's quite possible, yes.
We're going to take a break, come back, because we got a little bit more we're going to be talking to you about, because I want to talk about the Council of Nicaea. And we come back, I want to ask you, why is it that people are scared to even ask questions about the Bible when we come back?
Yes, sir.
Why is it such a touchy subject? And I want to get your perspective on the Quran and how it ties in to the Bible, along with the Torah.
Yes, sir.
Be right back.